Glad that you guys are all here. Hey, we had a big weekend around here, didn't we? Hopefully on Thursday, 4th of July, you had a great 4th. Got to eat some good food, see some fireworks. Stranger Things dropped a new season on the 4th. Kawhi signed with the Clippers. All the Laker fans are crying out there. I see you over there crying. We had some earthquakes last couple days. Yeah, and then we get to end our weekend together here at Fusion, worshiping, hearing God's word, and then ending with Fusion Summer Night. So I'm glad to get to cap off this big weekend together with all of you. And I'm really excited to be with you for our final week in our series entitled The Holy Spirit. And in this series, we have been seeking to not increase our knowledge about the Holy Spirit, but rather to grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And if you've been with us over the last 11 weeks, you'll remember some of this. If you missed any of these messages, they're all available on our website, on the app, super easy to find them. Really recommend you go back and listen to this entire series because it's just been incredible. We've talked about how the Holy Spirit is a person to be known. We've talked about the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and leads us into truth. We've talked about how the Holy Spirit gives us power. We've talked about how the Holy Spirit will guide us into God's will for our lives. We've talked about how the Holy Spirit wants to give us spiritual gifts. Specifically, we talked about the spiritual gifts of speaking in tongues and of healing. It's been an incredible series. And tonight, in our final week talking about the Holy Spirit in this series, we're going to be talking about prophecy. Now, just the word prophecy, it might bring up different ideas for different people. For some of you, when you hear the word prophecy, you think about the foretelling of some grand adventure that the hero of a story is going to go on. And when things get tough, they're going to remember the prophecy. It's always going back to the prophecy that was foretold about them. For others, when you hear the word prophecy, you think about some dude declaring to the world that he knows the day the world is going to end and putting up billboards everywhere telling you, I have a prophecy, the world's going to end, get ready, because on this day it's going to happen. And then the day after that day, he's not available for interviews the way he was a couple days earlier. But I think that the Bible speaks differently about prophecy than those things. And the question that I want us to wrestle through together tonight, Fusion, is this. Is it possible that every follower of Jesus, every single follower of Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, can and should give and receive words of prophecy and knowledge to each other? In fact, in your bulletins, if you want to take it out, look at what Paul says about prophecy. And you got to remember, in 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing to a church very much like ours, meaning it was made up of very normal people who experienced the grace of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And look at what Paul says about prophecy to a church just like ours. Pursue, love, and desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. For the person who speaks in another tongue is not speaking to people but to God, since no one understands him. He speaks the mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the person who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouragement, and consolation. The person who speaks in another tongue builds himself up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. I wish all of you spoke in other tongues, but look at this, but even more that you prophesied. The person who prophesies is greater than the person who speaks in tongues unless he interprets so that the church may be built up. You see, Paul, who taught us about spiritual gifts, he makes it very clear that every spirit-empowered believer should be open to and should desire the gift of prophecy in their lives. But what does that mean? How does prophecy work? How do we engage with that gift? Let's pray and we'll talk more about it. So, Lord, we thank you for tonight. Thanks for the work that you're already doing in this place, for the way that your name has been lifted up and glorified, for the wisdom that's already been shared with us, for the amazing things happening in this community. God, we pray that as we spend the next few moments looking at your word, would you speak to us? Jesus, we thank you that your word is alive, that is active, that when we read it and we apply it to our lives by the help of your Holy Spirit, we are a changed people. So would you change us tonight, we pray. God, we pray that you would help us to think differently about prophecy tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's July, summer is in full swing, but I just want you to be prepared. I want you to have a heads up about something. September is coming. September will be here very soon. And there's a lot of great things that happen in September, some really incredible things that we just want to celebrate and be aware of. But one of the best, maybe the best thing that happens in September, you probably already know this, my birthday is in September. It's coming up. I just want you to be prepared for this. Now imagine, hypothetically, of course, imagine you were going to get me a birthday present for my birthday. How would you know what to get me? Well, there's several ways you could go about that, isn't there? You could just randomly pick a gift. You could just be walking through Target down the dollar bin aisle and just be like, I wonder if Bo would like this. Here's this thing for you, right? It could just totally be at random, and you could just hope that it's something that I enjoy. Or you could just look at my life. You could observe what you can observe about me. Look at my social media. Look at who I am and just make kind of an educated guess based on what you see about me in my life. Or you could talk to the person who knows me best. See, if you were to ask my wife, Blake, she's going to give you a very accurate picture of what would be a real blessing to me in my life. And other people, they may be able to give you some idea of what I might like, but Blake knows beyond a shadow of a doubt what I would like for my birthday. And how? How does Blake, better than anybody else, know what I want or need in my life? Well, it's because Blake is so familiar with my life. My wife knows me better than anybody else on this planet. She lives in the same house with me. She spends time with me every single day. She knows what I need and she knows what I am wanting in my life. And if you ask her for an idea for what to get me, she's going to give you the best possible information about me because she loves me and because she knows me. Fusion, before we get into the specific about words of knowledge and prophecy and how they work, I want to begin by making something very clear to us. When God gives a prophetic word or a word of knowledge to somebody that involves you, it is always rooted in Jesus' intimate knowledge of your life and his love for you. Yeah. In fact, you can write this down. Prophetic words and words of knowledge begin in and reflect Jesus' heart for us. They begin in and they reflect his heart for us. Tonight, as we're talking about prophecy, I'm going to kind of be lumping at times together two ideas that are individual ideas but are intimately connected with each other. The first is just prophecy in general. Prophecy, which is to speak, serving as an interpreter of God's will or purpose, either in the present moment or the coming future. To give a word of prophecy is to give an interpretation of God's will or purpose for something happening now or that's going to happen in the future. Next, there are words of knowledge, which is knowledge that the person giving the word would have no other way of knowing that information except that the Holy Spirit gave it to them. Sometimes the Lord will give a word or a statement or an idea about something that's happening or that is going to happen. And sometimes God will give insight or knowledge about something that has happened or that happened once in the past that person should have no idea about. They don't know anything about this except that God gave them knowledge about that situation from the past. Both of these are forms of prophetic words. And these are both gifts to the church. And like every spiritual gift, Fusion, we have to know this, it all goes back to Jesus. It always goes back to Jesus.
I think sometimes when we think about spiritual gifts, whether it's healing or faith or words of knowledge, we tend to think of them like there's some like mysterious power that we just get from the Holy Spirit. But there's something that we have to understand. The power is not mysterious. The power is Jesus' power. There's no mystery about it. It's Jesus' power that has been given to us in that moment for the sake of his church. When God gives you the spiritual gift of healing and you pray for somebody, you lay hands on somebody and they are healed, it is not some mysterious power that just healed this person. It is the healing power of Jesus that just healed this person. When you get the spiritual gift of faith, you don't have some mysterious amount of faith that just rises up out of nowhere. It is Jesus's faith that is strengthening you in that moment. In John 16, but right before he goes to the cross and dies for the sins of the world, Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. And look what he says in John 16. He says, "I still have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them. But you can't bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak whatever he hears. He will also declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me because he will," look at this, "take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything the Father has is mine. This is why I told you that he takes from what is mine and declares it to you." Listen, Fusion. Words of prophecy and words of knowledge come directly from Jesus himself. These are words, these are insights and knowledge that Jesus alone has of your life. And of course, he knows those things about you. Of course, he knows what's going on in your life. Because Jesus is intimately familiar with your life. He's intimately familiar with where you've been and what you've gone through. The Bible says that he suffered as we suffer. He was tempted as we are tempted. It says that all of our days were written before a single one of them began. He knows the number of hairs on our heads. He knows all about everything that we need. And it felt important to me that we first understand the heart of prophetic words. When someone gives you a prophetic word or a word of knowledge, that is Jesus sharing his knowledge, his insight with you. Like Blake recommending the perfect gift for me, it's someone intimately familiar with your life, with your struggles, with your fears, with your dreams, with your hopes, sharing information that only he could know, and that is a gift to you, to encourage you, to lead you, to guide you into the plans and the purpose that he has for you in Fusion so that he can communicate his heart for you and his great love for you. Words of prophecy, words of knowledge will always communicate Jesus' great love for you. And if a word of prophecy does not communicate Jesus' great love for you, it is not a word of prophecy for you. Now let's talk for a few minutes about the how and the what. What do prophetic gifts do? Number one, a prophetic word can prepare us for what is ahead. A prophetic word can prepare us for what is ahead. See, sometimes having a heads up on something, it can be a real gift when that moment arrives. Sometimes it can help us to brace ourselves for what is coming. Sometimes it can help us to keep the right perspective when that moment arrives. In Acts 21, Paul has been preaching the gospel, and he's on his way back to Jerusalem, and the Jews in Jerusalem are not happy that he has been preaching the gospel, and they have a plot and a plan to arrest him. And look what it says in Acts 21, starting in verse 10. Luke writes, "After we had been there for several days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. He came to us took Paul's belt and tied his own feet and hands and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews in Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, both we and the local people pleaded with him not to go to Jerusalem. Then Paul replied, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Since he would not be persuaded, we said no more except the Lord's will be done. See, Paul, he ends up going to Jerusalem. And he is arrested, and he is bound up just the way the prophet and the prophetic word said that he would be. Notice, he still went to Jerusalem because he knew that was God's will. But I just have to wonder if that prophetic word, that insight on what is to come, that he's going to be arrested, he's going to be bound up, I wonder if that gave him courage, if it took the fear out of the situation because he was now prepared for what he was about to walk through. But here's the thing. Prophetic words, they don't just prepare us for something hard or foreboding that is to come. Sometimes it can be about amazing things that God is preparing to do in us and through us. And sometimes these prophetic words take a very long time to be fulfilled. I was reminded of this while I was preparing this sermon, actually. As I was writing my sermon over the last, week, last couple days, there was one morning where I woke up and I knew I needed to complete the sermon that day, but I was having a hard time because I was struggling, searching my mind and my memory. You're like, "God, what are some prophetic words that you've given me?" And I was struggling to recall something. And as I was brushing my teeth that morning, I was praying and I just prayed this simple prayer. I just said, "God, would you just even give me a word today? Not just for a sermon illustration, but to build up my faith as I'm preparing to preach on prophetic words to my community." And so I prayed that prayer and I went to work and I was typing, writing my sermon. And my parents live out of town, and they called from Seattle. Like any of you whose parents live out of town, you got the same call. They called and they said, "Hey, I saw there was an earthquake on the news. I saw like water splashing out of a pool and like there was a light swinging. Like, are you guys okay, you know?" And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, we just kind of kept watching Stranger Things. Like, we didn't really stop doing what we were doing. But yeah, I know, we're great. Yeah, we're super cool. No problem. We survived it, you know?" But then I began talking about this sermon with my parents. And I was sharing with them some of, what I was struggling with and some of the insecurities I was feeling about preaching about this. And just out of curiosity, I asked my mom. I said, "Mom, was there ever any prophetic words that were given to you that prepared you for what was ahead at any time in your life?" And my mom said, "Well, there was that prophetic word that Jeff gave us." Jeff was a man in our church in Oregon. She said, "There was that prophetic word that Jeff gave us when you were 18. And I said, "I don't know anything about that prophetic word. You've never shared that with me." And she said, "Well, let me check something." And sure enough, Jeff, a man in our church, when I was 18, had received a prophetic word from the Lord for my parents and had typed it out. And so my mom actually scanned it and emailed it to me. And as I read it, I just wept where I was at the place where I was writing this sermon. And I want to share with you part of this. But for context, I just need you to know. This prophetic word was given on March 13th, 2003. In March of 2003, I was 18 years old. I was a senior in high school, and I was as lost as I'd ever been at any point in my life. I had nothing of a semblance of a relationship with Jesus. I was completely addicted to drugs. I was strung out. I had been kicked out of my house multiple times. I had no plan, no future. I was broken and hurting. I was as lost as I have ever been. And at that time in my life, my parents received a prophetic word. I just want to read part of it for you. Here's what Jeff received from the Lord. "When Bo is walking in the fullness of his calling, he will not have to get people's attention by shouting, talking loud, or making bold gestures. When he speaks, people will listen. The young and the old, brothers and sisters in the Lord, pastors and elders, those who will actually break their own train of thought to hear what he says. They will strain to hear every word he says. He won't speak his own mind, but only those things God shows him. Gracious, efficient words. Even God's word. Words not comprised by preconceived assumptions, but words that are keys to releasing the power of God and the message of the gospel to his generation." Wow. Now,
for those of you who have only known me in this last season, I read that and you're like, well, yeah, you're a pastor. That makes sense. You have to remember, when this word came to my parents, there was no signs pointing to my current calling. It didn't even look like I was going to survive that season, except God saw it. And God gave a humble man named Jeff a word that sustained my parents during my wilderness season and prepared them for what was to come. It gave them hope, it gave them strength, and it gave them the ability to keep praying for a lost and broken teenager. Whether it's a warning or an encouragement, prophetic words give insight and help prepare us for what is to come. Number two, a prophetic word can change what is happening right now. A prophetic word can change what is happening right now. There are times where God will give you a prophetic word or a word of knowledge in order to change something about your current situation or plans that you have. An example of this is from Acts chapter 11. Where it says, in those days, some of the prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, remember him, stood up and predicted by the Spirit that there would be a severe famine throughout the Roman world. This took place during the reign of Claudius. Each of the disciples, according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brothers and sisters who lived in Judea. They did this, sending it to the elders by means of Barnabas and Saul. Here we have a prophetic word about something that's about to happen, a famine, and those words, that word, it changed the course of action for the disciples and ultimately resulted in the lives of those believers being changed. People had food that would not have had food had this prophetic word not come. Words of prophecy and knowledge can change a situation and a direction of life. When Blake and I were first married, we were living in San Diego, and we were both working at a church down there. And we really loved it. We loved the church. We loved the city of San Diego. But after a few months of us being there together, we both got this sense that change was coming. But we didn't know what that meant or what to do about it. One thing that we considered was applying for jobs at churches, potentially in other cities. However, before we began applying and quit the jobs we had at the church, we prayed about it. And as we prayed about it, both together and on our own, we both individually received the same word from the Lord. And he said to us, wait, because I have something better for you. So we waited. We didn't apply to anything. We didn't put in our 2 weeks notice. We just waited. And oftentimes God's word to us is to wait. And that is a hard word to follow. But we just sat. And about 6 weeks after we received that word, I got a phone call from my dad saying, hey, listen, I know you're super happy where you are. However, I just heard that Christian Assembly up in Los Angeles is looking to hire a new youth pastor on their team. Is there any chance you'd be interested in applying for a job up at Christian Assembly? And instantly, Blake and I both knew this was the thing God had told us to wait for. You see, if that word hadn't come to us, we would have started applying at jobs immediately to go somewhere else and potentially might have taken a job somewhere else. And I am sure that job would have been fine and that church would have been great, but it would not have been this church. And I can't imagine what I would have missed out on, what we would have missed out on if God had not given us that word to wait. God will at times bring you a prophetic word that will change your current situation and the trajectory of where you are going. Number three, prophetic words must be tested before taking any action. Prophetic words must be tested before taking any action. You see, one of the dangers of prophetic words or supposed prophetic words is that they carry a weight with them. And a person might receive what seems like a prophetic word and might just assume, well, this is from God, so I therefore need to do what it says or believe what it says. But even the Bible tells us that not everything that seems like a prophetic word actually is a prophetic word.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul, he writes this. He says, don't stifle the Spirit. Don't despise prophecies, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. See, the word test, it means to make a critical examination of something to determine genuineness. We need to be willing to make a critical examination of any prophetic word that we receive. How do you test a prophetic word? Well, the first and most important thing that we must understand, Fusion, is that a prophetic word will never contradict God's word. Does the Bible agree with the word you just received? You see, prophetic words will never lead you into any form of evil. They are given to us by the Holy Spirit. If someone gives you a prophetic word that encourages you to sin in some way, that is not a prophetic word for your life. Man, I got a prophetic word. God just wants me to be happy. I'm just going to have that affair and leave my spouse. That is not a prophetic word. That is not from God. Prophetic words are for our lives, and they are for the church to lead us into God's will for our lives and for His church. And so much of God's will is described for us in the Bible. If a prophetic word that you received opposes what we find in God's word, you need to be very cautious of that word. And Fusion, can I just say, part of being able to test prophetic words according to God's word is that we must know God's word. If you want to be able to test it, you need to know God's word. Do you know God's word well enough to be able to test prophetic words that you might receive? If not, it is time for you to make spending time in God's word a daily part of your rhythm. Not so you can check off some box or achieve something, but so that you can have God's word in you to the point where you can recognize truth from lies when they come to your life. Another question to ask, another way to test prophetic words, is to ask, how does this connect to other parts of your discernment process? Do those in your life who offer you godly, wise counsel agree with it? For example, in the situation with Blake and I that I described, where we were considering a possible job change, well, we each got those prophetic words on our own, but a regular part of my discernment process is to check everything like that with my wife. First of all, because she's my wife and that's wisdom, okay? Anybody out there planning on getting married? That's wisdom right there. Check with her, okay? But the other thing is, Blake is so spiritually wise. That woman hears from God's Spirit in ways that I wish I could. It's to my benefit to check things with her before I just jump and do something. And when I went to Blake and said, listen, here's the word that I feel like I'm getting from God. And she came back and said, that's the exact word that I am receiving from the Lord. There was so much peace in me in that moment, knowing I can confirm this is a word from God, because my regular discernment process confirms this for me. Do you have godly, wise people who are a normal part of your discernment process, who will help you to test prophetic words? I have an entire network of people around me because I want to be covered as much as I can when it comes to making decisions like this. So Blake is first and foremost. Tom Hughes, my boss and pastor here at the church. My parents, other pastors in my life. These are people that I will test prophetic words with. Do you have those people in your life? So test prophetic words and words of knowledge. Do they align with God's word? Do they lead you to more holiness and God's plan for your life? Do those who give you godly and wise counsel agree to them, and will they confirm them for you? Number four, prophetic words can come to a person in many different forms. In both the Old Testament and the New, people with prophetic gifting, they receive messages from God in many different ways. Sometimes it's in a vision. Sometimes it's in a dream. Sometimes it simply says the word of the Lord came and spoke something to somebody and they understood it. In Matthew chapter 2, Joseph has a dream where the Lord appears to him and says, get married, get baby Jesus, and you need to head to Egypt. In Acts chapter 9, a man named Ananias, he sees a vision instructing him to go and pray for Paul, who had just met Jesus on the road to Damascus and was now blind. I know people who feel like God gives them pictures that they can see in their mind. I know people who have a word or a phrase that comes to mind for them when they're praying for somebody. The point is, there isn't just one way in which prophetic words and words of knowledge will come to somebody. But listen, you want to be careful. This isn't about reading tea leaves or tarot cards. Remember, it will always go back to Jesus' heart for you and God's word. And both the content and the delivery will always line up with those two things. Finally, number five, prophetic words must be delivered with humility and love. Must be delivered with humility and love. Humility means that we are very careful to not just begin a prophetic word with, "Thus saith the Lord." You want to be careful with that. Certainly there are places in the Bible where that happens, but those people delivering those words have a long track record of accurate prophetic words that God has given them. I think for us today, we are better off, we are safe to just say, "Listen, I want to offer you something." You see, we need to understand that there is a weight that comes with saying, "This is 100% what God is saying right now in this situation." I think damage has been done, honestly, in people's lives by people claiming that type of authority and delivering a word that isn't actually a word from the Lord. Instead, we can come humbly and offer our word or vision and invite the person that we are giving it to test it. It can sound like this: "Listen, my sense is this. Does that mean anything to you? The verse that comes to mind for me when I think about you is, I'm getting a picture of, does that seem accurate to you? I was praying for you and I felt like the Lord brought blank to mind. I can't get the word blank out of my head when I think about you and when I pray for you. Does that mean anything to you?" And mostly, we deliver words with humility because, as 1 Corinthians 13 reminds us, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully as I am fully known." And Paul is telling us, listen, there is a day we will understand all things, but until then, we are in a broken world and we are broken people redeemed by grace, empowered by the Holy Spirit, but we prophesy imperfectly at times. So it's better to just say, "I want to offer this to you," and then you go and test it. Infusion, Alex, you can join me up here. As we close, I just want to encourage us in this. See, if I'm honest, I had a hard time with this sermon because I'm insecure about this topic. I was insecure because, to be honest, like, I don't feel like I operate in the prophetic in my life all that often. I don't have story after story after story of when God gave me a prophetic word to give to somebody. And my suspicion is that there are people in this room who feel that same way. I think there are people in this room, you are prophetic, you do operate this way consistently. Thank God for you. Please keep doing that. But I think tonight there are some of us in this room who are just thinking, "Prophetic words are for prophets, and I'm just going to stick to what I am doing." But Fusion, let me just tell you, I have a sense. I have a sense that God is inviting us into deeper faith when it comes to our willingness as a community to operate in the prophetic, to give prophetic words and words of knowledge to each other. I believe that every believer in this room can receive and give prophetic words to other people. In Fusion, I believe it can be a marker of our community. And I think God is inviting us into that. As Paul wrote when speaking about prophecy in 1 Corinthians 14, he says, "So it is with you. Since you are eager for the gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church." Paul encouraged us. He is encouraging us tonight. try to excel in the gift of prophecy. And how can we do that? Well, first, we could pray that God would give us this gift. Pray that God would give you the gift of prophecy. Pray that God would give you words of knowledge to share with other people. And then when you have those words, have faith and be courageous to step out and deliver them. For those of you who have this gift, but maybe you're not practicing it right now, you're not stepping out in faith in this gift, I want to encourage you to fan that gift into flame, because our community needs you to speak these words. Yeah. And finally, number three, ask God to speak to you through a prophetic word. That's okay to do. I did it while brushing my teeth a few days ago, and God was so faithful to come through on that. I think God wants us to be a marker of our community. That the Spirit would reveal to us what is Jesus. What Jesus has will be declared to us. And as we prepare to close, I just want to remind us that as the Spirit declares to us what belongs to Jesus, that one of the things that the Spirit will declare to us is that in Jesus we have a freedom that we can find nowhere else. And that freedom was ultimately demonstrated on the cross. The night before he went to the cross, and the same time when he talked about the Spirit, what the Spirit's going to do, the Bible says that Jesus, he took some bread and he broke it, and he says, "This represents my body that is broken for you." And whenever you get together with each other, I want you to break some bread and remember that I went to the cross and I was broken so that you don't have to be broken for your sins. And then it says that he took a cup, and in that cup was some wine. We use grape juice here. And he said, "This cup, it represents my blood of the new covenant," meaning there's a new deal in place. It's not about what you bring to God. It's now about what God has brought to you. And that is the ability to be made right with God. And so as often as you get together, remember my body and my blood that was broken and shed for you. So here's what we're going to do. The ushers are going to come in just a moment and begin passing trays. And in that tray, you'll find a little cracker that represents the bread of Jesus' broken body, and the little cup of juice that represents the blood of the new covenant. And if you are a follower of Jesus, I want to invite you to take the bread and to take the cup, remembering what he did for you. If you're visiting, if you're not a follower of Jesus, we're so glad that you are here. You can let that tray pass you by. But for those of you who are followers of Jesus, would you remember what he did for you as we do this? Ushers, you may come.